Well, good morning, everybody. Good to be back here at Bexley North. I would love it if we could keep our Bibles open at Luke 14, and the handout which you have will help you to know where we're going. How about we pray and ask God to help us? The psalmist says that the unfolding of your word gives light, and we pray, our loving Father, that as we come to read your word now, please, that you would bring light into our lives, and we ask this for Jesus' sake. Amen. Well, today's our second last look in Luke's gospel for this term, and today in Luke 14, we see Jesus go to a very awkward dinner. And I don't know how we find awkward dinners, but they can be very painful. There is the old anecdote of some work colleagues who went to a function, and when they all sat down to eat, one person at the table spoke up and was very critical of the company. And they were saying things like, the management have no idea what they're doing, the CEO is useless, they must have rocks in their head, to which, after a very long pause, one person leant forward and said, perhaps I should introduce myself. And I don't know how you deal with awkwardness. For me, whenever I see something remotely awkward, I just feel like crawling into a ball wishing the floor would open up and I would fall in. And I could tell you many times when I have completely put my foot in it and have said completely the wrong thing, but sadly we don't have time. But at this meal in Luke 14, Jesus takes awkwardness to a whole new world. Because as Jesus talks with these Pharisees, he is poking holes in their religion. He is bursting their religious bubble. And he's not being rude when he does this, because he wants them to see they are not in the same kingdom. They're not even on the same planet, because they do not understand Jesus. We're in a section in Luke from chapter 13 to 17 that is all about the question, who are Jesus' people? Who is in his kingdom and who is not? And you will remember from last week that Jesus was asked the question in chapter 13, verse 23, Lord, are only a few going to be saved? Jesus, how big is your kingdom going to be? Is it just going to be a handful of people? And Jesus says, verse 29, no. No, it won't be small. People from all over, from north, south, east and west, will come and be saved. But, said Jesus, it won't be the people we expect. Old J.C. Ryle once said that there will be many surprises in heaven. We'll be surprised by who is there, but also by who is not. And in Luke 14, Jesus shows us who his people really are. Because this dinner is actually much more than a dinner. It is an X-ray. And the people on view here are these Pharisees, these religious, moral, upright, put together people. And as Jesus speaks with them, it's as though he holds up his scan and he shows us who his people really are. So come with me to Luke 14 to see who Jesus' kingdom is really for. Firstly, point one, it's not for the self-righteous. It's the Sabbath. Jesus is invited to a home to eat with some Pharisees. And you see verse 1, they were watching him closely. Their eyes were peeled to see if Jesus would break their rules. It's the third time now that they've been watching Jesus on the Sabbath. And there in front of him, verse 2, was a man whose body was swollen with fluid. This man has dropsy. And with him standing there, Jesus asks the question, verse 3, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath or not? And you see verse 4, they kept silent. Throughout the Bible, the Sabbath has always been a day that is about rest. It's been a day to look back to when God created a world with no sin and also a day to look forward to God's new creation, where there would be no more sin, no more brokenness or frustration or tears. A new creation of perfect rest. That's what the Sabbath was meant to be, but not for these Pharisees. It wasn't a day of rest, it was a day of rules, a day of religious performance, a day of one-upmanship. But Jesus shows us what the Sabbath is really all about. And because it is a day of rest and life, well, there really couldn't be a more perfect day for Jesus to heal this man. And so verse 4, Jesus, he takes him, he heals him, and he sends him on his way. It's just so quick. And then he asks them this other poking question, verse 5. Which of you, whose son or ox falls into a well, would not immediately pull him out on the Sabbath day? And it really is a no-brainer, because of course they would. They would just find a loophole through their rules. But because Jesus gives life on the Sabbath, a new life for this man, they can't stand it. They would rather have Jesus keep their rules than let this man have rest. And their hypocrisy, their self-righteousness, it's very clear, verse 6, they could find no answer to these things. We might say that this dinner is not off to a great start. It's about to go off like a lead balloon, but Jesus is making it very clear we're not in the same kingdom, because there is no room for self-righteousness in Jesus' world, for thinking, I will follow my own rules, I will do it my own way. But having offended them, Jesus dials things up, and he shows us who else his kingdom is not for. Second, not the self exalting. Verse 7, Jesus and the guests are around the table, and it's worth knowing that in Jesus' day, they didn't have the tables and chairs that we have. When people ate, they lay down, their feet were facing outwards, and the table was like a U-shape. And each seat said something about who we were, and the person with the most respect sat in a certain spot, and then the people, the next most important, were either side of them, and then the next, and so on. And where you chose to sit said a lot about what you thought of yourself. And as Jesus reclined at this table, having seen these Pharisees who put themselves in the best seats, well, Jesus says, verse 8, when you are invited by someone to a wedding banquet, don't sit in the place of honour. And don't sit there because there might be someone more important than you. And the host might come to you and might say, I'm so sorry, but would you mind if so-and-so sat here? Now that would be awkward. Now Jesus says instead, verse 10, when you are invited, go and sit in the lowest place, so that when the one who invited you comes, he will say to you, friend, move up higher. You then will be honored in the presence of all the other guests. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and the one who humbles himself will be exalted. And that's really the key, isn't it? Verse 11. Who Jesus' people really are. It's not the proud, not the self-exalting, not the one who thinks the world of themselves. And even to use the language of last week in chapter 13, verse 30, it's not those who put themselves first. No, instead, it's for the humble. It's for those who come last. It's for those that are honest. It's for those who are real about who they are. A bit later on in Luke's gospel, in chapter 18, that same phrase in verse 11 will come up again. And it's when Jesus is talking about the two men who go to church. There's one man who stands down the front of church and he says, God, look how good I am. because I do this and this and this. So impressive. And Jesus said that man went home with exactly what he asked for, which was nothing. But then there's one man that's down the very back of church that sits in the back row, head bowed, and he says, "Oh God, have mercy on me, the sinner." And Jesus said that man went home justified, forgiven, clean, righteous. He went home exalted. Because that's how Jesus' kingdom works. The proud humbled. The humble lifted high. There really are only two types of people in Luke 14. There are the proud and the humble. That's the problem for these Pharisees. They are proud. Here's what C.S. Lewis says about pride. He says, "A proud man is always looking down on things and people. And of course, as long as you are looking down, you cannot see something that is above you." And for all the Pharisees' religion, their morality, their performance, they are always looking down. And they cannot see Jesus. Look up to see Jesus, who is standing right there with open arms, inviting them into his kingdom. That's the self-exalting. Now, thirdly, point three, not the self-promoting. Well, if things couldn't get any more awkward, Jesus now has something to say to the host. So he turns to him, verse 12, and he says, "When you give a lunch or a dinner, don't invite your friends, your brothers, your sisters, the cousins, the rich friend that's next door. And don't do it," verse 12, "because they might invite you back. And then you will be repaid." No, instead, says Jesus, verse 13, "invite those who are poor, maimed, lame, or blind, and you will be blessed, because they cannot repay you, for you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous." Now, why does Jesus say this? Well, what Jesus is doing is he's showing them that their hearts are transactional. Their guest lists are not about who can I love and include, but who can give me a leg up. It's not about self-giving. This is self-promotion. And so says Jesus, don't invite the people who can pay you back, but invite the people who can't. The poor, the homeless, or even the awkward, or the person who's difficult to talk to be around, the person who sits on the fringe. Invite them, because even though they can't repay you, in the end you will be repaid at the resurrection. Now, it must be said that this is a particular word to the Pharisees. So these words of Jesus are not a ban on eating with our families. But isn't it true that this self-promotion, this putting first of self, is something we can really all struggle with? That desire to do good only to be seen. Or that longing to be recognized at work, to be commended by others, to be praised by others, to make sure that in life we are those that really come first, that we get back what we give, we get what we deserve. Well, Jesus says, that's not how my kingdom works. The last to first, the first to last. And it is your privilege here at Bexley North, isn't it, to be a church that gets to welcome and love people who might never pay you back. And yet in the end, all that we've done isn't forgotten by the one who matters most. Also, if Jesus' people are not the self-righteous, not the self-exalting, or the self-promoting, then who are they? And that's our last point, point four. It is the Christ embracing. Someone speaks up, verse 15, perhaps to break tension. That's something which I can do if things are tense. I say things like, well, it's a lovely day today. The weather's nice today. But this man speaks up, verse 15, and says, blessed is the one who will eat bread in the kingdom of God. But Jesus has one last thing to say. So he tells them this parable of the heavenly banquet. He says, verse 16, a man was giving a large banquet and invited many. In Jesus' day, there was no last-second run to Coles or to Woolworths to get something for Sunday lunch. No, meals had to be prepared well in advance. And what the host would do is they would send out their invite, they would wait to hear back, then they would get all the food prepared, and when the food was ready, they would send out their servant to say to their guests, all right, it's time to come. But all the guests that this host has invited do not come. The first, verse 18, says, well, I just bought a field and I can't come. I have to go check that out. And the second, verse 19, says, well, I just bought 5 oxen and I have to check them out, so I can't come. And then the third says, well, I just got married and therefore I can't come as well. And the reasons they give aren't really reasons at all. They are sad excuses. Because, I mean, who buys a field? Who buys a house and doesn't check it out first? And this third man who says, I just got married. Really, you just got married and you didn't tell me? And you don't want to bring her as well? No, they don't come. Because they don't want to come. And because they won't, have a look at what the master does. Verse 21, the master tells his servants, go out quickly into the streets and alleys of the city and bring in here the poor, the maimed, blind and lame. In other words, bring in the lowly. Bring in the humble. Bring in those who are last. And there's still room when the servant comes back. And so verse 23, the master says, go out into the highways and hedges and bring them in. The confronting thing about this parable that Jesus tells is that actually everyone, all of us, are in this parable. And I wonder if you notice that in Luke 14, there are two banquets. There is the banquet where Jesus is invited, but then there is the banquet where Jesus is inviting. And when Jesus talks about this banquet, he's not talking about Sunday lunch. No, he's talking about real, lasting relationship with him, knowing him, being loved by him, being forgiven, having our past dealt with, having the future dealt with, not just now, but for eternity. And Jesus' invitation is not just for a particular group of people. It's not for the religious or the moral or the upstanding. No, it's for anyone who will come to him. It's for the humble, not the person who pretends on the outside like they have everything completely together. No, it's the person who knows they desperately need him. And will embrace him, much like the drowning surfer down at Bondi Beach. You know, they're caught in the rip. They put up their hand, and they put up their hand because they know they need someone to save me. And when the lifeguard comes out, they get on the board because they know they need it. And I guess the question for you and I is, who are we in this parable? Because although Jesus did say in chapter 13 that there is a narrow door that you can only go through him, well, in chapter 14, Jesus shows us that the narrow door is open wide. The doors have been flung open to all people, not just to Jews, also to the Gentiles as well. Praise God that for many of us here today, We are those who have embraced Jesus' invitation to follow him and to join him at his banquet, all made possible because, of course, it was Jesus who humbled himself, even to death on a cross, so that he could welcome anyone who would humble themselves and accept their need for him and embrace his salvation. But there will be some of us, won't there, or people that we know, who, like in this parable, are making excuses. And they say things like, well, it's just not the right time. I'm busy. What's a rush? And they forget that Jesus says, behold, I'm coming very soon. Or they say things like, well, not just yet, because if I do, Jesus will ruin my fun. When really, in the end, it's my fun that will ruin me. Or even they say, I can't, because I just can't admit that I was wrong, that I need someone other than myself. Let's not make excuses, because the narrow door is wide open. Jesus stands there saying, come. The banquet is ready. And of course, this is the banquet that not only are we invited to, but we have the enormous privilege and task of inviting others to as well. Anyone, not just who we think should be there, but anyone who would come. We can get RSVPs from time to time. Come to a wedding, come to a party. Well, in Luke 14, Jesus sends out his RSVP. And he says, are you coming? I guess the question for you and I is, have we clicked? Yes, I'm coming. How about we pray together? For everyone who exalts themselves will be humbled, and the one who humbles himself will be exalted. We do praise and thank you, our loving Father, that the Lord Jesus has come to open the narrow door and to welcome us in into relationship with him. We do pray, our Father, please help us to be those who are humble and who are reminded and know and embrace our need of him, so that we can embrace all that he has come to bring. And we pray and ask for your help in this, in Jesus' name. Amen.